Welcome to the Brown Coat Ball Podcast. This is going to be a mighty fine shindig. Please visit www.browncoatball.com to learn more. Welcome to the third episode of the Brown Coat Ball Podcast. I'm Melissa Honig, your podcast host and the coordinator of the 2011 Brown Coat Ball. If this is the first time you've heard about the Brown Coat Ball, well, it's a weekend-long shindig just for fans of Firefly and Serenity, featuring a dinner and a fancy dress-up ball on Saturday night, as inspired by the episode Shindig. This event is held in a different city each year, and in 2011, the New England Browncoats will be hosting the party in Providence, Rhode Island, the weekend of October 21st through 23rd. Please visit www.browncoatball.com to learn more about the event. We're less than 3 months away from the ball, and we're all very excited. We have introduced some new ticket options. If you can't come for the entire weekend, we have a Saturday-only ticket, which gets you into all of Saturday's events, but not everything happening Friday or Sunday. And we also have a ball-only ticket, which only includes dinner and the ball on Saturday evening, but not any of the daytime tourism tracks. Also, we now have the option to purchase a t-shirt by itself if you'd like to have one. Matt Black of the Philadelphia Browncoats, who ran the Philadelphia Ball in 2007, is proposing a trip up to Salem, Massachusetts to take place after the Browncoat Ball is over. The ball is, of course, just about a week before Halloween, and Halloween is Salem's big time of year. They make a big deal out of the history of the Salem witch trials that took place there. And you can get everything in Salem from serious history about the witchcraft trials, also about the area's maritime history. You can go to the Peabody Essex Museum. You can go to the original House of Seven Gables. And also, you can have all the cheese-tastic, touristy witch stuff you can lay your hands on. There's the Witch Museum, and the Pirate Museum, and the other witch museums, and lots of shopping. And so it's a lot of fun, both for serious history buffs and for people who just like their wonderfully cheese-tastic, oh my god, witches stuff! So if you're interested, come to browncoatball.com and follow the information posted there on how to contact Matt Black and get in on the trip to Salem, Massachusetts. Also, the Browncoat Ball Committee have put out the call for bids for groups to host the 2012 Browncoat Ball. We would dearly love to be able to announce the location of the 2012 ball at some point during the 2011 ball. If you have a local group of Browncoats and you'd like to host the next ball, visit www.browncoatball.com and look for the blog entry with all the detailed instructions on how to bid. Don't worry that you're located too close to Rhode Island. Any and all bids will be considered. Next up, we're going to talk a bit about the destination of the companion track, the Mansions of Newport, Rhode Island.
Bellerophon States, home to the rich and paranoid. Gracious living, ocean views, and state-of-the-art security, including local patrols and multi-code keys needed at all entrances and exits.
Which we have.
Newport's mansions are from a time period often called the Gilded Age. During the 1870s and 1880s, the U.S. economy grew rapidly. Corporations became the dominant form of business organization. The country became more and more industrialized, and some lucky families grew very wealthy. This is the era of the so-called robber barons, people with names like Rockefeller, Carnegie, Vanderbilt, and Astor. Newport, Rhode Island became a popular place for these families to spend the summer, especially for wealthy Southerners looking to escape the heat. They referred to their summer homes as cottages, but these mansions were built to be grand venues for dinners, balls, and parties during the very important social season.
Hamer's throwing a big party this weekend, so you should have no trouble blending in with the hired help who'll be there setting up.
While some mansions in Newport remain in private hands today, it turns out that the tax bills and upkeep costs on a 100-plus-year-old mansion are pretty high, so many of them have been converted to other uses. Some mansions became the campus of Salve Regina University, and some of those mansions were used as the exterior location of Collinwood in the old series Dark Shadows. How's that for a nice classroom? The mansions that we are going to visit are managed by the Preservation Society of Newport County and are open to tourists. The two that we will see are called The Breakers and Rosecliff. The Breakers was commissioned in 1893 as the summer home of Cornelius Vanderbilt II, who inherited a great deal of wealth from his father, and who was chairman and president of the New York Central Railroad system. Richard Morris Hunt, one of the country's most influential architects, directed an international team of craftsmen and artisans to create a 70-room Italian Renaissance-style mansion. Only the finest furnishings and decorations were selected for the new home. Because a previous building in this location had burned down, Vanderbilt insisted that the Breakers be built to be as fireproof as possible, using steel and stone, not wood. The building was finished by 1895 and cost more than $12 million, which would be over $300 million in today's dollars. At the time, it was the largest and most opulent home in Newport. Over the years, the home passed to the Vanderbilt descendants, but in 1972, they sold it to the Preservation Society of Newport County, with one catch: that the family could continue to live on the third floor of the mansion, which is not open to tourists. So while we're visiting downstairs, you never know, someone might be at home upstairs.
Did you see the chandelier? It's hovering.
What's the point of that, I wonder?
Oh, mangoes.
I mean, I see how they did it, I just ain't getting the why.
The other mansion we'll visit is called Rosecliff. It was commissioned by Teresa Fair Aylricks, whose father made an enormous fortune from Nevada's Comstock Silver Lode, one of the richest silver finds in history. She met her husband in Newport while spending the summer there, and the two of them designed a summer home suitable for entertaining on a grand scale. Work on the mansion started in 1899 and was completed in 1902 at a cost of $2.5 million at the time. Mrs. Aylricks was known for hosting many of Newport's most lavish parties at Rosecliff, including an event featuring magician Harry Houdini. Eventually, the mansion was sold to new owners, and they ultimately donated the home to the Preservation Society in 1971. Scenes from several films have been shot on location in Rosecliff's ballroom, including the 1956 film High Society, the 1974 version of The Great Gatsby, 1994's True Lies, and Amistad in 1997.
Of course, you couldn't buy an invite with a diamond the size of a testicle. I got my hands on a couple.
Behind both of these mansions lies Newport's Cliff Walk, a 3.5-mile publicly accessible walking trail that follows the shoreline and passes behind a number of seaside mansions. Once we're done touring the mansions themselves, Browncoats on the companion track will have a little time to explore the Cliff Walk and its beautiful views of the rocky New England coastline. We recommend that you bring a jacket with you and dress in layers if you're coming on the companion track. You never know what the weather's going to be like in October in New England. By the way, one last historical fact. Have you ever wondered why Rhode Island is called Rhode Island when it isn't an island? If you look at a map, the eastern half of the state has a number of islands, but the western half is firmly attached to the mainland. Well, you may not be aware that the full name of the state is, in fact, the State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Originally, European settlers set up two separate colonies, one called Providence Plantations, which is where the city of Providence is located today, and one out on the Big Island in Narragansett Bay, which was the original Rhode Island. Eventually, the two colonies joined together and entered the Union as a single state called the State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Of course, that name is a real mouthful, so eventually everyone just called it Rhode Island. In the November 2010 elections, there was actually a proposal on the ballot to officially change the name of the state to just Rhode Island and get rid of the Providence Plantations part, but the state's residents voted against it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess. As for the original Rhode Island, the actual island, today that's called Aquidneck Island, and at the southern tip of Aquidneck Island are the lovely mansions of Newport.
Up until the punching, it's a real nice party.
The information on the Newport Mansions came from the Preservation Society of Newport County's website at www.newportmansions.org, and of course Wikipedia. Thank you very much for listening to the Browncoat Ball podcast. Stay tuned to our website, Facebook page, and Twitter feed for updates, and we will see you in October. This has been the Browncoat Ball 2011 podcast. Firefly and Serenity are the property of Mutant Enemy and Universal Studios. No infringement is intended. The theme music is Saffron's Wedding Dance by the Bedlam Bards. Please visit www.browncoatball.com to learn more. We'll see you in Rhode Island for the Browncoat Ball.